Welcome back to America Weekend. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Valerie Smaldone, and the program is America Weekend with Valerie Smaldone and friends. And for this segment, I defer to my culture guru, Al Katabiani. Al is founder of the great website Culture Sonar, cool stuff to see, hear, read, and do. And in this segment this week, Al talks about documentaries and nice guys. Al?
Do nice guys really finish last? It's an old argument. Baseball fans will see Leo Durocher, who coined that phrase, on one side, and Yogi Berra, who once said, "Love is the most important thing in the world, but baseball's pretty good too," on the other. Putting aside the question of which of them will be remembered longer and more fondly, let's consider three recent documentaries that add their own takes on the topic. We all know Steve Jobs was often brutal and possibly unscrupulous in business. But we also loved the products he made and the utopian ideals underlying them. It's probably fair to say the Apple Watch, Apple's first major non-Jobs new product, is no iPod or iPhone. Jobs has been getting a lot of screen time over the last year or so. The Danny Boyle, Aaron Sorkin feature film, Steve Jobs, earned mostly excellent reviews last year, where on the documentary side, Alex Gibney's Steve Jobs, The Man and the Machine, has taken some heat for being unbalanced in its attempt to demythologize Jobs. The film is compelling viewing even so, full of recollections from people who knew Jobs well, and archival interviews with the man himself. On the question of nice guyness, a New Yorker profile of Apple design chief Johnny Ive cast an interesting light. Ive recalls Jobs arguing that being nice to an underperforming team is a trap. "You don't care about how they feel. You're being vain. You want them to like you," Jobs lectured Ive. It's really demeaning to think that in this deep desire to be liked, you've compromised giving clear, unambiguous feedback.
His stuff was beloved, but it wasn't that he was beloved.
He was paid $7,000. He told me we were paid $700, and he wrote me a check for $350. And that hurts because we were friends.
Ive insisted that Jobs' intention and motivation wasn't to be hurtful. Similarly, the book, Becoming Steve Jobs, reportedly takes a kinder view, more in line with those who claim to have known Jobs best. But that's another subject for another time. Today, we're talking documentaries. And speaking of beloved creations from a guy who may not have been what he seemed, there's always Walt Disney, subject of a PBS American Experience profile. It's your basic, yes, he was a genius, but yikes, what a dark side story. Say what you will about how bland Disney stuff can sometimes be, but those first animated features, Snow White, Pinocchio, Fantasia, Dumbo, and Bambi, totally redefined movie making.
It was beginning to feel like corporate America.
It was the studio. It was his own creation that went against him.
In both these cases, the filmmakers conclude that these two titans wouldn't have been who they were or been able to do what they did without being pushed by, shall we say, cruder forces. On the flip side, there's Kindness is Contagious, a less lavish but totally charming argument for the virtues of being nice. Fashion photographer turned ad man David Gaz made the film out of a sense of mission to set the record straight, as it were. Among other things, the film highlights the science behind kindness, including hopeful data on the exponential pay-it-forward effect of good deeds and how nice people are actually happier, live longer, and have stronger relationships. Basically, kindness spreads like a good virus, as people seem naturally wired to be generous and inspired.
And so if one person starts being kind, starts being generous to other people in the group, that behavior can spread from person to person to person, and soon the whole group is more likely to exhibit that same behavior.
It's like a super interesting hot area of research right now is trying to understand what is going on and how you explain that.
Gaz frequently points out that the occasional psychopath may end up hugely successful, but statistically speaking, many more end up in prison. On the original question of whether you need to be a jerk to succeed, the answer probably boils down to your definition of success. The subjects of these three films make their answers clear. You can dig deeper and find more cool stuff to see, hear, read, and do by visiting culturesonar.com or our Facebook page, cinematically called Culture Sonar.
And I'll add to that, Al Katabiani, I like the phrase, don't confuse kindness with weakness, because it's not about being weak. It's about being strong and kind. Those two can actually live side by side, I totally believe, if only corporate America took my lead. Thanks, Al. I'm Valerie Smaldone. It's great to be with you on America Weekend. Much more coming up, so stick around.
With you. For 8 years now, the USDA has been disposing of military nuclear waste by exposing grocery store hamburger to it because it happens to eradicate E. coli bacteria and insects. Michael Colby, former director, Food and Water.
That's 30 million chest x-rays is what was approved to expose our hamburger meat to.
Enough radiation to kill the host cow in under 10 seconds. At high radiation levels, America's massive deregulated meats are nuked for bacteria, staving off costly lawsuits from the 20,000 plus E. coli poisonings a year. Michael Colby.
You're going to take that fecal contaminated piece of meat and you're going to zap it with the equivalent of 30 million chest x-rays, and then we're going to call it safe.
Look for radiation's logoed flower with a circle around it on packaging.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
Although this goalie never played in the NHL, he's considered among the greatest ever. He led his team to 10 world titles and Olympic gold 3 times.
Krusiak with a shutout, and the gold medal belongs to the Soviet Union.
So where is Vladislav Tretiak now? After the Soviet Union fell, Vlad coached goalies for the Chicago Blackhawks. In 1989, Vlad was the first Soviet player inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. And 7 years later, he became the head of the Russian Ice Hockey Federation. Today, he currently operates a successful goalie school in Toronto. Vlad Tretiak, still on the ice after all these years. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.